The Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast is brought to you by the following sponsors: EliteForm.com, IgnitionAPG.com, PlayUSA at PLAEUSA.com, and Sorinex Exercise Equipment at Sorinex.com. And now, the Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast. Welcome to Iron Game Chalk Talk with your host, Ron McKeefer.
Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go! Let's go! Everything you got!
On this podcast, hear Coach McKeefer's straight talk about training, featuring the top strength and conditioning professionals from around the world. And now, here's your host, Ron McKeefer.
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefer, and this is episode number 151. This is the third anniversary of Iron Game Chalk Talk, and I cannot thank you enough for listening to the show. If this is something that you've been following from the very beginning, truly appreciate your support. If this is the first time you're listening, welcome. Tons of great past episodes I would highly encourage you to check out, but the show's not possible without you guys listening. The fantastic presenters that we've had come on the show, and obviously the support of our sponsors and the whole deal. And so crazy to think that this is 3 years in now, but been a fun project and one that I don't anticipate slowing down on anytime soon. So truly appreciate that. We got a great episode for you today. I wanted this to be a meaningful episode, and there's three people that when I first started this that I wanted to have on the show. And to be honest with you, I wanted to wait until I felt like it was something that was something that they would be proud about being on. And Coach Ken Manny, the head strength coach of Michigan State, was one of those three. And we'll get the other two on here pretty soon as well. But way back when, in 1997, 98, whenever that was, I sent out about 270 letters, and and basically there were requests for jobs and trying to apply for different jobs. And in that, one of the questions that I'd asked was for people to send back a manual. Out of the 270 letters, mostly I got non-responses. Out of the 50 or so responses that I got, pretty much 48 of them were rejection letters, just common rejection letters, and two of them were resources. You know, I'd asked for resources, and they didn't have jobs at the time. One of them ended up being where I'd go next with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Mark Kasanovich. The other was Coach Ken Manny had sent his summer manual. And, I mean, I'll tell you, I went through that thing up, down, sideways a million times and was able to learn so much from that. Still have it to this day, and truly appreciate Coach Manny sending that to me because it was paramount. It was instrumental in my development, and it came at the right time. And here was a guy that was as busy as all get out, creating a program and a culture and the whole deal. And he took time to send something to somebody at the time that he didn't know from Adam. And so it just speaks volumes about his character. I said it in my book, that I wanted to be Coach Ken Manny when I grew up. I mean, I really, truly respect this man. And it's easy to see why when you watch this episode. So before we get to that, I want to make sure we recognize our sponsor, Ignition APG. This weekend, they're holding the speed certification. I did this a couple years back. I think it's a great certification. One of the things I talk about quite a bit is having a unique selling proposition, making yourself stand out in the job application process, and getting advanced training in an area is important. And so I would highly encourage you to get on ignitionapg.com, sign up for their speed certification. It's going to be in Cincinnati. I will be there speaking. I think it's either Friday or Saturday night. Can't remember exactly which one. And there'll be tons of other people there as well. And so I can't say enough about their certification, but more importantly, the people, the character, the things that they do within their community, really focusing on mind, body, and spirit, doing it the right way, and I think the world of Ignition APG. So make sure you check them out. If not, make sure you get on, thank them for being a part of the show and making this continue to come to you for free each and every week. Lastly, quickly, Ask Coach Mac. Been going really well. I would encourage you to go to AskCoachMac.com, leave your questions, subscribe to it. Each and every week I answer a strength and conditioning question from a coach around the world in less than 10 minutes. And so it's a great, quick podcast answering some of the questions from coaches just like yourself out there. So I want to get to this episode. It's a long one. I thought about breaking it up, but you're just going to have to listen to it in parts here. And there's so much gold in this episode that you're going to want to listen to it multiple times. So sit back and enjoy it. We'll see you on the other side. All right, guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. Super excited to have a guy that I consider a mentor, Coach Ken Manny at Michigan State. When I started this thing, and Coach and I were talking a little bit off camera, but when I started this thing 3 years ago, there was three people that I had listed down that I wanted to have on, but I was, to be honest with you, I was just too nervous to have them on until I felt like this was something that I was really, really proud of, you know, and Coach Ken Manny was one of those people. He's been a big influence in my life, a guy that I've used as a barometer in this profession, and I think he just does it the right way. So, Coach, I appreciate you coming on the show and truly being an inspiration to me.
Hey, Ron, thank you. I really appreciate this. This is a great series you're doing here. And why you waited 3 years to give me a call, I have no clue. But I would have been happy to have been your first guy.
If you wanted to make sure you were proud of me, Coach. That's why.
Oh, I'm very much proud of you. And what a great resource for, as we were talking off camera, like you said, for not only young strength coaches, but really anybody in the profession. And I think the thing I really like about these podcasts you're doing in this series is they're so diverse. You're having so many different styles and outlooks and perspectives on things. And that is so much it's very much needed in our profession because there's so much going on out there. And you can't go through this with blinders on. I'm just telling you, for all the young coaches that are listening to this out there, you've really got to open up, man, and not look through life like Coach Saban used to always say, don't look at it through a straw, man. You better open up. Eyes wide open and check out what's going on out there, because especially now when things are coming at us fast and furious. So great job. Keep it going. It's a great resource, and I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, thanks, Coach. Like I said, I walk away from all this a much better coach every single time. But, you know, Coach, you've been in this profession for quite some time. You know, talk a little bit, you know, Reader's Digest version, what got you into the profession and then some of the stops along the way to get to Michigan State there.
Wow, Reader's Digest version. Okay, let me see. Just cut me off if I'm going over the Cliff Notes kind of cliff here. Way back, I was a high school coach. I started out as a high school coach. I came out of the University of Akron, got right into high school teaching and coaching, went back to my alma mater in Steubenville, Ohio, Catholic Central High School, and I thought that was it for me. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to climb the ladder in coaching, etc. You know, that whole scheme of things. And but I was also the strength coach at the school because no one else really knew how or wanted to do it, and that was always a passion of mine. So and we would go to clinics, and at one point in the mid 70s we went to the Penn State clinic, and we're there to learn football, but that's when I ran into Dan Riley. And yeah, my first realization that, wow, you can be a head strength and conditioning coach or be a strength coach at any level, really, at the collegiate level as a full-time position. And it was certainly something that I had a great passion and desire to do, especially after talking with Dan. And you talk about mentors.
Yep.
Great mentor for me over the years. And I loved his one-on-one style. I could never replicate it, believe me. I really don't know how he did it for all the years that he did it. But he was a true one-on-one or coach to two, that kind of ratio kind of coaching system. And he did that all day, every day. But long story short, I just, you know, that was my inspiration. And then when a situation came open at Ohio State for graduate assistants, I got my name on it, jumped on it, worked at Ohio State in, I want to say, 84, 85. It was a one-year program, full term, full year, June to June, quarter system, knocked out. What was it, 54, 55 quarter hours plus all the internship work and the hands-on work with the athletes, long days, long nights.
Sure.
Got my master's, and then the Toledo job came open. And I was fortunate to get that position. And as I was told at the time, that I was the first head strength and conditioning coach, really full-time strength and conditioning coach, I should say, in the MAC. And that was back in 1985, 86. And so I was there for 9 years, Ron. Met Coach, and I knew Coach Saban through him recruiting the Ohio Valley, where I used to coach high school ball, obviously. He came in 1990, and so I got to know him better, obviously. And then when he got the position up here in late 94, asked me to come along, and I've been here ever since. So that's kind of my journey, you know. And that's now all total there. You're looking at, I'm going into 42 years of coaching, 32 years primarily in this profession, at the collegiate strength and conditioning profession. Wow. So did I keep that as Reader's yep. Digest as possible for you?
Absolutely, Coach. And you know, there's lots of things to pull out there. I think one would be, you know, obviously in 42 years of coaching, you've made lots of mistakes, I'm sure. What's maybe one of the biggest mistakes you made and kind of how you learned from it?
You know, I've made a lot of mistakes, Ron. Geez, I could go over – I don't know if any one is bigger than the other, but, you know, in the profession, you're going to come – especially in our profession – you have to learn so very, very early on in your career how to come to common ground with people on different things. And right. I don't think I'm quite as bullheaded as I used to be in doing that. And I'm searching for ways, even now, at this late stage of my career, and for as long as I've been doing this, to come to common ground with people on issues. Because what we find, and you've seen this too, and you've been through it, I'm sure, but it's like a swinging gate sometimes with all the coaches we have to deal with. I'm talking about right. the various sports coaches.
Sure.
Regardless of what sport they're, I'm not talking primarily or only football, only exclusively football. I'm talking about across the board. And the thing that I've tried to get across to our young people that are coming in, interns, graduate assistants, and young assistants, is learn how to come to common ground with people in terms of what they're going to have their own mindset of how things should be done, whether it's in training, dealing with the athletes, discipline, and a lot of times that discipline gets filtered down to us, as you all know. Send them to the strength coach, or send them to the strength coach, and they'll dish out the punishment. And certainly we've come a long way in doing that, and certainly compliance has stepped in a lot on that in terms of what we can and cannot do, and the hours that are put in. But I think that's the biggest thing, is learning how to, you know, again, and let's talk about going from this viewpoint of things with the blinders to this.
Sure.
You know, sit down with them, see their viewpoint, listen to them. You may not agree totally with them. They may not agree totally with you. But I'm just telling you now, and learning how to do this, and it's something I've become much better at. You can come to common ground if you work at it.
Absolutely.
And both, I think both parties have to be involved in this. It's a two-way street. But that's the area that I think I've grown the most in over the really 42 years, and especially primarily the 32 years I've been in the strength and conditioning profession.
Absolutely. I think you know, one thing I typically say on the show is you can be passionate about your career, you can be passionate about your job, but without being emotional, you know. And I think especially as a young strength coach, I was very emotional. I was a guy that threw plates at players for being late, you know. But as I've gone through this and grown, I've learned that they're, you know, those athletes, those coaches, those administrators, they're not always going to love the weight room as much as you do, because they didn't choose it as a profession like we did, you know. So we got to take that emotion out, you know, not be emotional, but still be passionate and fight for our area and our department and things along those lines. You know, another thing I think that I've been so impressed with you, and this is something that I've constantly talked about on the show, is making the big time where you're at. I mean, when you first got to Michigan State, it isn't Michigan State that was in the playoffs this year. It wasn't Michigan State that was winning all these Big Ten championships and all these sports. You've grown with that play. You know, you've grown personally. The place has grown as a whole. And the culture has changed tremendously. And you did it all from within. Talk a little bit about how to kind of make the big time where you're at and longevity and specifically one place.
Well, we got to step back just for a second there, because all those things you've talked about, the culture change, the chemistry, the turnaround that this place has made, certainly I was probably at the lowest level, and I say that honestly now. It's all the people above myself in the higher end of the athletic department, and also from central administration down through athletic administration, and certainly the coaches. And most significantly in football, of course, you got Tom Izzo over in basketball, who's been doing it for years. And right. It's kind of ironic he became the head basketball coach the same year that I came here to be head strength and conditioning coach. And we've had a great relationship, from that time. But then, obviously, from Nick Saban, and there's been a dichotomy and a lot of diverse personalities from that point to get to Mark D'Antonio,
right,
who came in with me on our first staff. So Mark and I, and we've known each other since the Ohio State days when we both graduate assistants. But and really, he's been the catalyst. There's no question about that. I don't think that even needs to be said.
Sure.
But in terms of where we are now as opposed to where we were in the past, just kind of, on the fringe of mediocrity sometimes, but you always knew that this place had some greatness in it. And one thing that's always motivated me is I knew this place could be great if we could get the right people in place that, call the shots. And now we do. We obviously do. And Mark and everything he's doing, obviously Mark Hollis, as an athletic director, and the vision that they all have. And so, really, I'm kind of a purveyor of all the things that they put in, and certainly a believer, and we represent the day-to-day administration of that. So,
right.
And the belief has always been there. We've always been on the same page, but now you've got the strong core, which is Coach D'Antonio and his staff, and that gives us. That gives us more of a voice in what we're trying to get done down here. So it always goes back to that. And it's not false modesty. It's the honest to God truth. So I really believe that, and I feel that. And what we do here, we're just an extension of what the coaching staff wants done. And we do it in our own special way. And the great thing about Mark is he's given me free reins and autonomy. He's got the vision. Here's what we want is the vision, Ken. Now, you and your staff, you make sure that vision is getting administrated the way that you best feel it gets done in terms of your area. So
sure.
That's what's going on here right now. And I can't express this enough, and I hope that you get in that situation if you're not already. But as you get towards the tail end of your career like I am, to be in this situation now, and I've been in some rocky situations in the past, believe me.
Right.
And you fight through them and you keep pushing forward. But I hope that you, if you're not now, that you eventually will be, and everybody in your listening audience gets to the point where they can be in that position at a prime time in their career. And I'm just telling you, you can be if you just keep working on it and persevere. The big thing in our profession, Ron, as you know, is perseverance.
Absolutely.
You've been through it. I've been through it. Sometimes you get to the point where you just feel, what's the use? I might as well just walk away from this. There's so many things that I can be really, I can really excel in other than this. Why do I keep fighting for this? Well, if it's important to you, you will keep fighting at it. And I promise you, if you keep fighting, you'll win the war of attrition. You will. You'll win the war of attrition. You just keep fighting because everyone else will just fall to the wayside eventually.
Right.
You keep fighting. So I've always said, you come in and we talk about it with the players all the time. And as coaches, we've got to have this too. Calloused hands, bloody knuckles, and a fire in your heart. That's how you got to go through all this every single day. And it speaks so – it's right in line with what we're doing. It parallels everything that we talked about. Calloused hands, what's that? Hard work. Bloody knuckles. You're a fighter, man. You're a fighter, and you're going to keep fighting, okay? The fire in your heart, that's your passion. Those three things, if you had nothing else, I promise you, if you had nothing else, Those three things will keep you going. Now, you add your expertise onto that. You add your education onto that. You add your experience onto that. You just keep stacking those things up.
Right.
Okay? I'm telling you what now, you can be unbeatable.
No question. Unbeatable. No question.
In life, in your profession. I mean, you're going to lose some games. I ain't talking about that, okay? I'm just talking about in your life and in your profession. You'll be unbeatable because most people, I'm just telling you that, and some of them who are kind of a little bit over you in terms of, you know, on the flow chart, so to speak, you'll wear them out. They'll eventually walk away from it because they don't have what you have.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. You know, I was just having a conversation with a coach yesterday that had come down, and it was kind of this us versus them mentality. It's kind of us versus administration, or us versus the coaches, or us versus the players. And it's, and when you take an approach where everybody's in it together, and right, like you said, you're gonna wear people down, or you're gonna find a way, whatever way that is, to get your point across, or to build the program the way you want to build it. That's what leads
to that success. Point. And to that point, Ron. The ones, whether they're working around you, working with you, the athletes you're working with, if they have that same mentality, they'll be drawn to you like a magnet.
Absolutely, you're right.
Okay, the ones that don't, well, they're going to kind of drift a little bit. And they might keep drifting off into oblivion. And you might try, I'm all for throwing lifelines out and pulling you back. Okay, but if it gets to the point where it's just not that important to you.
Right.
And sometimes you do have to part ways. And that could be in so many different situations. Whether it's people you work with, people you work next to. It could be people, like I said, that are above you. It could be your athletes. You're quote unquote, you're not going to save everybody. You're not going to save everybody as hard as we try. But like you said, if there's that willingness to work together and we have a common bond, a common thread, at least. So there has to be some common thread there.
Absolutely.
At least, okay? And if there is, those people will be drawn towards you. They'll gravitate toward you. I promise you.
No question.
Keep that attitude.
Well, I think to that point, one of the things, again, that I've been always so impressed with, not just you, but Michigan State in general, and I know that you'll say that it's you've had the resources from administration and whatnot to be able to do this. But, I mean, what do you have now? You have four or five master strength coaches on staff?
Well, right now, on our football staff, and, of course, they have some collateral duties, too. And what a great staff it is. Tommy Hoke,
right,
master strength and conditioning coach. Mike Vorkapich, master strength and conditioning. And like I mentioned earlier, we brought Mike Vorkapich over from basketball into football and then gave him that title of director of sports science.
Right.
And bringing him gave us five now full-time strength and conditioning coaches, even though Mike has hockey. We have Lorenzo Guest, too, a former football and basketball player here. He also has men's tennis. Bill Burkhart is also on our staff, who interned with us, graduate assistant with us, brought him back to the fold. And he also has wrestling. So we have five full-time guys. Three of us over here are master strength and conditioning coaches. And then Tim Wakeham, you know, Red.
Yeah, absolutely.
Master strength and conditioning coach. Heading up the Olympic sports along with Molly Munns. They do all the heavy lifting around here, believe me. My assistants do all the heavy lifting around here. And I'm so proud of them. So, we feel like, we're very proud of the fact that we are putting people out in the profession. We're very proud of our coaching tree. We have coaches now that have been through here in one way or another, whether they GA'd, interned, or full-time guys here. Now with Aaron Wellman being named with the New York Giants, we have three guys in the NFL, and we have guys in the SEC. We have guys in the Big 12, obviously in the MAC. You know, Rick Court came from Mississippi State now to Maryland. Got guys in the Big Ten. I mean, so very proud of our coaching tree and the guys that we're helping nurture and put out there in the field. So that continuing education, that professional growth and development, that is so vital and very important. And really, personally, I'm as proud of that as anything we've accomplished as a program, our individual teams, whatever, is the fact that we're putting – really strong-minded, strong character, men and women with of integrity out there into this field. And God, that just overwhelms me with pride, really.
Yeah, I think, you know, and again, you know, you got four master strength coaches on staff. And I remember, you know, again, way back when I was getting into this profession, trying to figure out, you know, how do I become a Ken Manny? How do I become a success in this profession? And one of those things that I identified was developing coaches, and surrounding yourself with good people and developing those and creating this tree. I mean, I remember going way back 17, 18 years ago and seeing your tree then, and then going to a conference a couple of years ago and seeing your tree now, and just how impressive that was. But, you know, two things with that. One is, how do you identify those type of people? You know, because, I mean, as a strength coach, the technician part, writing a workout, that's the easy part.
Right.
The hard part is managing the people, the time, the resources. That's where the rubber meets the road. So you got to hire. That was one of the hardest things for me as a young strength coach, as a young head strength coach, was hiring staff. You know, so how do you identify that? And then not only that, but now once you've been in it for a while, what's the secret sauce in maintaining those good people and just keeping, I mean, any one of those people that you mentioned, Lorenzo, we had as an assistant at South Florida, you know, phenomenal coach. How do you maintain those people wanting to stay there, stay committed to you, stay committed to the university, and not take, I mean, any one of them could be a head strength coach right now.
Right. Well, first of all, in terms of what we're looking for, there's no question that they have to have the education.
Right.
Okay. They have to have been, you know, put through the fires of academia, so to speak, and especially all the things that are important in this field. And, you know, I could go through all that, and I'm going to talk about it at the conference this year.
Okay.
I'm going to be talking about confronting the challenges facing strength and conditioning coaches, and it'll be geared to the young people, I promise you that. But so I won't go through all that now. That's a lot of technical stuff in terms of at least the coursework I think you should be well-versed in. I want coaches, though. I want guys that can coach. I want men and women that are great coaches because, obviously, the expertise, certification, crucial, critical. You know, you and I are big, obviously, advocates of the CSCCA and everything that it brings to the table in terms of really just the exam and everything. I mean, the practical part of that exam, which I've been a part of for several years now, it's extensive, it's comprehensive. I think that if you can get through the written and practical part of that situation there, okay, at least from a knowledge standpoint, you're ready.
Sure.
But really, you can set those things aside because I've come across a lot of young people that have all that and don't know how to coach. They can't relate in a coaching environment. Okay, the most important, and I learned this from a high school coach way long time ago, okay? It doesn't matter how much you know. What really matters is how much of that knowledge you impart to the people you're working with.
Absolutely.
And now I had a great, I won't mention his name, obviously, but I had a great, when I was in high school, a man that was a great X's and O's guy. I mean, he could stand up at that board and you would be like in awe of the things that he drew up and the way that he explained them, okay, all right. But then when it got to the field, when we took, you know, off an old blackboard, a real blackboard now with real chalk, okay, and then we took it to the field, he couldn't coach it. He could coach from the blackboard, but for some reason, he got lost on the field. And so we don't have that blackboard in our minds. So right. we looked at it. Okay, we thought we were learning it, but obviously you got to take it to the field and do it before you really get that muscle memory, right? So we would get to the field, and we found that he wasn't as great a field coach as he was a classroom coach. And we could not get the information from him that we needed to perform the way he wanted us to perform. So are you a great coach in the setting of coaching? So and we'll test our people. And when I bring somebody, and when I do research on someone that we're hiring, okay, I've got all the other stuff in front of me. I've got his education. I see where he went to school, he or she went to school, the certifications, all that. Okay, that's all well and good. That's in order. Put that aside. Now I'm asking questions of people in at the places that he or she worked. What? Tell me about this person as a coach, how they relate as a coach. how were did the kids gravitate towards him or her? Do you feel that there was a relationship? Is this a relationship builder? All right, a relationship builder with the athletes, because that is so vital, especially in this day and age, with the young people that we're working with, these millennials. And I don't, you know, I don't attach a lot of the negativisms that so many people do with millennial, the millennial generation. Matter of fact, I think there's a lot of great qualities in this millennial generation. I really do, and I think they get tagged with a lot of nonsense that really isn't. I'm not seeing it any more so than I saw in other generations, and I've worked with a few generations now. So, but I need to know that you're a great coach, and I'm going to find, I'm going to go to the ends of the earth to find out what kind of coach you are, and are you a relationship builder, meaning with not only coaches that you have to work with, and that common ground thing that we talked about earlier, but also the athletes. I mean, I want those athletes gravitating toward you. I want them coming to talk to you about things other than training, right, other than the sport they're in, because they trust you. Right. There's a degree of trust there. They know they can count on you. You got the, you're a disciplinarian, but you also got their back, and that's kind of a hard combination there. Now you're a great disciplinarian, but you also got their back. Sometimes those are like this.
Right.
You got to bring those together.
No
and
question.
That takes a special kind of person with a special kind of personality, and so you know those are the things I'm looking. Those are things hopefully that I am. You know, I hope that I'm that person, and I try to, you know, get that across to my assistants and the people that I work with and for, because I think that's so very, very important. And
sure.
If you have that, I'll tell you what, the things you can get out of these kids, and we, let's face it, we are in a business of a lot of times making people do what they don't all really want to do.
Okay.
It's like, do you think 100% of your athletes love training?
Absolutely.
Every
not.
Single day? As much as we'd like to believe they do or pray that they do, no, they really don't.
Right. And,
no, that'll be witnessed when they leave and whether they go on to play another level or not. Look at the ones that don't go to another level. How many of them continue training, at least initially? A lot of them will just back away from it. So, and hopefully we're teaching. And I want to be someone who teaches lifelong positive behavior attitudes about training.
Right.
That you need to train not just for the sport you're playing, but for your overall health and well-being for your entire life.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've told my wife on several occasions, hey, hon, Marianne, the day I die, I sure hope I got a workout in that morning. I promise you I got one in the day we got married. I did. I got one in that day. So how long can I take this and work with this?
That's
so,
right.
Because I think, you know, it's so very, very important. And so those lifelong lessons we're teaching for training,
right?
The person, you know, probably got a little off track.
Yeah, no. When you have those people, now you've identified that they're a great coach and they're a relationship builder, and you've had these guys that have been with you for so long. I mean, how do you manage not egos, because I know your staff doesn't have egos, you know, but how do you manage that in a way to where they continue to be motivated to be the loyal soldier for you, but also motivated to kind of to continue to educate themselves and be the best practitioner that they can be?
Well, we always talk about it. I do. And I want them – I love them being here. I want them to be a part of this, and I want them to be a part of this for a long time. But I also want them to grow.
Sure.
If there's something better out there for you, if there's another step on the ladder that you need to climb, and sometimes you need to climb it. You need to go. You need to go find something else. But, you know, I've been fortunate. I can't believe how fortunate I've been with just the consistency in our staff and the longevity of our staff in all areas. And it's a credit to them, how much they love the program, how much they love Michigan State, their loyalty to every – not only to – the university, but to the people involved in their day-to-day dealings, and obviously the players, and I mean that's something special now, Ron. I tell
Absolutely.
You, that's very, very special. And as much as I appreciate that, and obviously, one thing I tell a new hire is, I will demand one thing out of you, and one thing, really only, and that's loyalty. Okay, you have to be loyal. Nuts. you better be loyal to the university,
right?
To the athletic department, and certainly to the young men and women you're working with. You need to be loyal to them, and you have to be of high integrity to do that. But I'm not going to hold anybody back. There's going to come a time, maybe, and we've had people leave here in various, not a lot of full-time people, but which I guess is a blessing.
Right.
It is a blessing. But and I want them learn. I want them constantly learning, constantly advancing their knowledge. You know, and I, you know, they've got to take time to do their readings, to do their CEUs. I want them to clinic. I want them to clinic with other people. I want them, if they want to go somewhere to clinic with someone else, go clinic, go talk, go and seminars, symposiums. Go. You need to go there. And if we have the money to send you, we're going to send you. Let me know where you want to go, why you want to go, you know, who you want to hear and why. Bring that information back to all of us. So this is, and especially now, I mean, when I first started back in, when I first, you know, became a full-time strength and conditioning coach at this level back in the, you know, mid-80s, I mean, the research in this area was there, but really, I mean, exponentially, each and every year, each and every decade, it has just taken off. And there's so much out there now in terms of the research, the data that's out there now, obviously with sports science now coming in and being such a big factor. So it's just coming at us a million miles an hour, and we have to absorb all this stuff, and we better stay up to date on it. So, yeah, you better be getting out there learning. You better be on your computer searching. You better be reading.
Right.
You better be going to seminars. You better be talking to people. You better be listening to Ron's podcast and listening to those people that he's talking to get that information, because there's so much out there. And if you don't, you will get behind the curve very, very quickly.
Agreed. You know, one of the things that I've also, and you would never say this yourself, but others, I mean, I've worked with players that you've coached at the NFL level, and I've read articles and seen interviews. Players themselves will talk about how, you know, the weight room has been kind of the heartbeat of Michigan State, and the leadership and the team building that happens in the weight room there is one of their best experiences, one of their favorite times in their career. Talk about some of the ways that you incorporate some takeaways for people listening on how to incorporate leadership and team building into, just instead of just coming in and lifting weights and it being kind of a transactional type of relationship.
Well, I'm going to share a little secret with you, Ron. So listen, okay? So let's just keep it between me and you.
Yeah, okay. We'll see what we can do.
You and I and the 5 million listeners that you might have. I get my monthly paycheck for training, specifically the football team, okay? And I oversee everyone. I mean, let me step back. I forgot to mention Todd Moyer, who took over for Mike in basketball. And I'm sure you know Todd. And
he's a former intern of mine.
Yes, okay, so there you go.
Yeah.
And so we brought Todd, and he's done a great job in the year, actually not quite a year, that he's been over there with Tom, so a new member of our staff, and I was remiss in not forgetting to mention him. But I get my monthly paycheck for training, guys. Don't we get – that's what we get paid for.
That's what we love to do.
And it's a result-oriented world, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we better get results. You know, you can take all the finagling and all the controversy and all the – infighting, and are you doing this program or that program? I love Ted Lambertini's comment. The best program out there is the one you're not doing. It's something that's not. Okay? So you're always going to have that battle to fight. But whatever you're doing, and I just hope you believe in it, and you're getting results, and those results can be seen. Okay?
Right.
And you're doing it in the safe manner as possible. Okay? So that all aside, okay? The main reason I'm doing this is I want to help do everything I can. And I'm talking about football now, so I'm going to use the word men. And I'm not being sexist here because I'm training men in my area. But whether it's men or women, I expect those working with the female sports to develop better women. So it's developing better men and better women. Because if there's anything this world needs today, it's better men. Better men, husbands, fathers, okay, role models, and the same can be said on the other side, better women, better wives, better mothers, okay, sure. Better people in society. So it entails both both male and female. That and we have such an important role in that because of the time, Ron, that we spend with these kids.
No question.
It's, look at how much time you spend with your kids. I mean, it's unbelievable on a year-round basis. If you're not paying attention to that, and I feel that really, okay, you gotta, yeah, you train them and you train them the way you feel is best, and you get the most out of them, and all the challenges and, you know, and fires and roadblocks that come with that, and getting them over those through those adversities. That's all well and good, but when all the smoke clears, okay, and you say goodbye to them, in terms of at least in terms of your program and working with them directly, 4 years, 5 years, whatever it is, all right, is that person a better man, a better woman, and did you have a role in that?
Absolutely.
Did you impact that individual? Did you have some kind of say in that? Did you nurture that individual? And you look and you remember what they were 4 or 5 years ago and what they are now, and you see how much they've grown in every way, not just physically, but more so on the inside, in their mind, in their heart, and the person that they are. And then you can step back and say, you know what? I know deep down in my heart that I had a role in that, okay, that I played a significant role in that. Okay, and I promise you, and you've been in this long enough, Ron, to know that they may not thank you right away, and most of them do, some don't, but, you know, it's like the call that I got, it was like right after we won the Big Ten championship, and we were in preparation for the playoff, and I got a call from a young man I had at Toledo. Won't mention his name, but I had not heard from this young man. In Toledo, Ron, is 20, what is it, 22 years ago.
Yeah.
And he was in my early, and I was at nine years at Toledo. And so he called, he forgot my number, called just to congratulate on Big Ten, blah, 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 all that stuff, right? So he got through all that. We talked about family, his children, et cetera. And right, he goes, Coach, I got to go because I got to get to work. It was early in the morning when he called me. He goes, but I got to leave you with this. You saved my life. And so I thought it was just a figure of speech. You know, in terms of maybe, you know, there was some motivation or inspiration there that, that helped him along the way. And I said, oh, well, I appreciate that. And he goes, no, no, he cut me off. He goes, Coach, you literally saved my life. I got to go now. Love you. And he hung up. And so you're standing there holding the phone like right. This. And you're, wow, that was
intense.
You're like stunned for a couple of seconds, not really knowing what he meant by that.
Sure.
Obviously, a lot of things are going, but every one of us, so every one of you, your listeners, everybody out there, okay? That's when I talk about impact, that's what I'm talking about. We can all have that. And I'm going to tell you what now. This young gentleman I'm talking about was a knucklehead I had him down there, okay?
No question.
He was a pure knucklehead. And when he left, I remember, I think, boy, this guy probably doesn't like me or hold me in very high esteem because I was always on him, and I was on him hard because it was so difficult to get him to do the right things, whether it was on the field, off the field, in training, whatever. But I just kept coming at him in as positive a way as I could, okay? And you might think, geez, I'm probably turning this guy against me. He probably hates my guts and, everybody uses the line, don't worry when I'm talking to you. Worry about when I'm not talking to you because
right.
I've given up on you. So, and we never give up. We never really give up on the kids. They sometimes give up, but we don't. But just that's just a little story there. But so I got off track there. But if this gen, we talked about the millennials, and if there's one, communication, Ron, is so hard for these young people. Communication. Right. They're doing this. You know, they're not always on Skype. I wish they would do more Skyping than maybe more FaceTime than anything. But some strategies. Okay, get them. We do not end a lift or a run in the summertime, wintertime, whatever, without getting one of them. We all come together, obviously, for, you know, your general announcements, whatever. We always have what's called a championship thought. And they've got to give the championship thought. And I tell them, you know, as much as possible, guys, try to make it sports related, non-sports related. So I want a life message here. Can you give us the life message? Maybe share a personal experience that you're willing to share without getting too personal, a family experience, something that's happened in your life, an adversity that you went through that you fought through, Maybe somebody's going through something in your family, without being too specific, but tell us how they're fighting through it and their perseverance. Something inspirational, motivational. And once again, not just the classic, well, we got to keep working hard, here's where we are now, we got to get another banner hanging up. That's all good stuff. But I don't want to really hear that right now. I want to hear something from the heart. I want something from – we want to know a little bit more about you as a person.
Right.
And it can take – I tell you what, some of them have stood up there for 30 seconds and you're like, wow, that was outstanding. Some of them up there for 3 minutes or five. It all depends on what they want to talk about. And the kids that you – and what, you'll learn so much about your kids doing this. The kids that you always thought were in a shell – that, like, God, they don't say anything at any time about anything. All of a sudden, they open up, and you stand there going, man, that was really good. Mm. And the way that he or she are, of course, we're talking football, the way he articulated that, I never knew he had that in him. But just try that. You know, and we always end with that, and then what we call the good word, and the good word is not necessarily a prayer. It can be something spiritual related, whatever, or it can be a remembrance of somebody or a family member that's taken ill, whatever. But we just hold hands, and I want to end on a positive. The basic thing about this, Ron, is I want to end on a positive note. So that's what the championship thought, and it's done every day without exception. Okay, and now one thing I've got gone to is this. I used to tell them like a day or two in advance, okay, you got the championship thought on Thursday. I've been springing it on them now. But I tell them now, everybody's going to have one eventually.
Right.
You're all going to have one eventually. Be ready. Because you might only get one shot, like, because you've got so many kids. I got 100 some kids to deal with.
Right.
So I can get through 100 championship thoughts. You never know when you're going to be up. But as they come out to the Spartan, then at the end of the day, at the end of the workout, and we take a knee, okay, John, after I've given my general announcement, John, you got the championship thought. And sometimes you say, oh, okay. But now at least they're ready, but they didn't know they were going to get called on that day. To put that little piece to it in terms of, you know, always having it ready and being called on at the last second.
That's great.
And also, the one more rep, talking to Eric Kapitulik, who I love from the program, and if your listeners don't know about Eric, you know, he's done a lot of things with our teams up here. I just do a search for Eric Kapitulik in the program, and he always talks about, you know, we do one more. The one more rep with us has been, we've been doing this since I was in high school, though, and what we do is we assign. We will end every time permitting, okay, after we've gone through the script of the workout, whatever the workout is for that day, okay, we're going to assign somebody the one more rep. And the one more rep is simply this, okay? It's in our mind. Our mentality is this. I tell them, I want you to think, everybody we're playing right now is walking out of the weight room. They're done. They got their call, you know, Big Ten champs or whatever, and they hit the showers, okay? So the mentality is, we're going to stay and do one more rep. And you're going to, Ron, you got one more rep today. You've got it, okay? Now, what is the one more rep? Is it literally one more? No, it can be 3 minutes, 5 minutes. Sometimes it's gone a little beyond that. It's usually in that 3 to 5 minute frame, though, because really that's all we have with
right.
them. We got to get them going. But, and I'll surprise them with this, too. You didn't know it was coming. So you got to always have one ready, but you may not know when you're going to get called on. And so you got to describe it. You got to demo it. And here's the important part. You got to hold everybody accountable for doing it the way you demoed it and the way you described it and the way you want it done.
That's awesome.
And then coaches, step back. It's on you, Ron. So now, for that next 3 to 5 minutes, you are leading this lift group. It's on you. Okay, you're the coach. Take it. So it's just ways of getting young men, and really, you know, the women do this to a degree too. I know Red does some things too along those lines. But you got to put them out there, and it gets them. What's the basic goal of this? Communication.
Right.
Getting them to communicate. Getting them to step forward and okay, if you want to develop leaders, you got to put them. You can't just talk about it.
Right.
We do a lot of talking about leadership. Put them in leadership situations. our Spartan Challenge on Fridays in the off-season periods. So after we've done, and this is Fridays, usually Fridays, during the Bottom Line program, which is our summer program, and our fourth quarter program, which is our winter program. We'll have, again, once again, the general script of the workout that we control as coaches. So we take them through that script. We always save on Fridays at least 15 minutes for what we call, you know, the Spartan Challenge. Okay, and again, the Spartan Challenge is Ron, you, and we'll give them a couple days advance on this one because they have to clear it with us because I don't want them going to YouTube or some other right. some other source and coming up with some wacko stuff that they saw some idiot doing and put it on YouTube because we're gonna stand on a Swiss ball and do like two flips in the air and land. No, we're not doing that. I'm sorry, we're not going to do that. Okay, so we give them a couple days advance notice on this, and we'll pick three or four captains from me. Okay, you guys got the Spartan Challenge on Friday. Design it. Be ready to demo it. It's got to be a competition. It's competitive in nature. There's going to be winners. There's going to be losers. Now somebody's going to win, and probably a whole bunch of people going to lose. But only one small group is going to win because sometimes they're in three or four different teams of five, six, seven guys, whatever it is. And so design it. On that, you come set it up. So if you got the 6 o'clock lift on Friday, you might have to be here 5:30 setting it up. Who's got a setup coach? Just the captains? I don't know. You're the captains. You figure it out. Do you want captains only? Okay, captains only. You want other guys involved? Post them up and tell them they got to be here for setup.
That's great. Crew.
All I know is this. It better be set up.
Right.
And the next lift group got to come set theirs up. And the next, you know, so because they have different Spartan challenges.
Yeah.
It's not always the same implements. And they use sleds, you know, med balls. They use, you've been here. We got a plethora of stuff. And anything that we have, it's basically anything we got, you can take out in the indoor facility, set it up. Have a junkyard dog relay, which is anything and everything they can set up.
Oh, yeah.
It's on you. Just describe it, demo it, and hold everybody accountable. And then the losers, you dictate what the losers, and they got to do something. There's got to be some consequence. We're just not going to lose and go, oh, we lost. No, there's a consequence. What's the consequence? Yeah. Now, obviously, the only thing, you know, out of line, but it could be anything they want within reason. But so they'll bring this to us, obviously. We'll look it over. And sometimes we'll go, nah, let's not do that. Let's come up with something better than that because that's a little bit dangerous. So we approve it. Once it's checked off, boom, okay. You got our approval, go do it. But once again, communication, leadership, it's on you, man. You do it. Okay? Because in this age of specialization, what I'm just telling you now, they get tongue-tied. They don't, when it's time for them to step up and take it over, but then on game day, what are we all doing? On game day, where are we?
We're
on the sidelines yelling stuff.
I say it all the time.
Whatever. But they're out there, and there's 11 guys in that huddle, and they're looking at each other going, man, who's the leader in this group?
That's exactly right.
So you better find out who those guys are way before that first kickoff in September. Know who the guys are that are going to take everybody else proverbially by the throat and say, here we go. Let's go. Find out who they are. You can find out a lot in little activities like that, whether it's championship thought, one more rep, Spartan challenge, whatever you want to call it. It's just merely this, putting them in leadership situations and letting them go with it. Don't step in, you know, let them make some mistakes. They can make some mistakes. Talk to them maybe afterwards. But what could we have done better there? How could you have done that a little bit better? And I'm just telling you, it helps. It's not a panacea, but it helps.
That's absolutely right. And there's no faster way to define what kind of leadership you have on a team than to give them a challenge and say go and just give them a least amount of information as possible. You figure it out.
Right.
All of a sudden, everybody's looking around trying to figure out who's going to step up and lead and in a big way. And
it's nothing revolutionary. It's just, I'm sure everybody does this in their own way, but I think – and we've always done this, but I think this generation more and more needs that because, you know, you got kids always running off the guru in the high school level, guru quarterback camps. Okay, that's all well and good.
Right.
Guru lineman camps. That's all well. So they go off to these specialization areas, and obviously we have camps too, so I'm not knocking camps.
Right.
But then you come back to your team. Okay, so you may very well have become a better player because and your skill set really, wow. has gone through the roof. But now, how are you going to interact now with the guys that you got to play the game with? Because you've been gone doing that stuff. And, of course, this is primarily at the high school, so I'm speaking primarily to high school coaches here. You got to get them together, and they've got to exert that what they've learned and draw everybody together in a leadership situation. You better find ways to do that leading into the season. Otherwise, you're going to have a lot of guys going like this. Well, I'm a better player, but I'm not sure how well it's relating to the team aspect of things and winning and being successful.
Well, there's absolutely tons of great stuff there. And, you know, go back even as far as, you know, those relationships you have with those players that are those knuckleheads that do go off, and maybe you don't know if you've reached, but you've planted that seed. When they come back and they have that, and I've had moments like that, and most of the coaches that have listened have had moments like that, that's the most rewarding part of our job, I think.
Oh, you know? And you'll find that the longer you go, too.
That's the most rewarding part of the job, and I couldn't agree with you more. Well, Coach, I could go forever, but I know you're busy. We end the show with some resources here. Give me the best piece of coaching advice you ever received.
The best piece of coaching advice I ever received really comes it comes from someone I never knew, but I wish I did know. Okay, and Vince Lombardi. Before you capture the mind, you have to capture the heart.
Absolutely.
And work on that first. I think any coach in any realm of coaching, because what does that speak to? It speaks to trust. If they trust you, everything else you want to do with them and for them will come so much easier. And if I could add another one too, that comes from someone I wish I knew, but I don't.
Sure.
Is Roger Staubach and all the kids. Tell you what, they hear enough of this one from me. There are no traffic jams along the extra mile.
That's great.
There are no traffic. And I've kind of added my own little story to that to help them understand it a little bit better. You know, there's so many people living in average city USA. I mean, they're just content. They're in a comfort zone. They take shortcuts. They don't rattle anybody's cage. Nobody rattles theirs. They're just chilled out, right? Okay. But all of a sudden, they realize that, you know what? I'm here living in average city USA, and I don't have much to show for it. Mm-hmm. I'm not very successful. I mean, what have I done for other people, for anything, for anybody or anything? Okay, and then you start having regrets. Okay,
right.
So here's what you need to do. Okay, right at the city limits of average city USA, there's a sign that says the extra mile. So it goes back to the Roger Staubach quote, and I tell the guys this, not only do you, now you look down there and it's not, woo, there's like a hurricane, there's a tornado, there's all kind of potholes, there's storms and lightning, and it's an adversity, that's the extra mile. That's why it's the extra mile, nobody wants to go there. But also down that extra mile is success.
No question.
That's where the success is, that's where the successful people are. So don't just travel the extra mile. Get out of average city USA, get on the extra mile, persevere, and build your house there. Live there. Live on the extra mile.
That's awesome.
And you will find, I tell you what, you will, and it's not easy, but hey, nothing worthwhile is, right? I mean, those are all just cliches, I know, but they're true cliches. Nothing in life that's worthwhile comes easy. So live there. Live there.
Keep fighting. Just like strength training.
Yeah, if I could leave your listeners with this too, you're going to have those times, and I think we talked a little bit about it earlier, those adverse, and you are going to question whether you really still want to do this, whether you want to stay in coaching, whatever realm of coaching you're in. Are you making an impact? Are you getting? Are you worthwhile and really impactful and significant in what you're doing? I'm just telling you are. You may not realize it now, but if you're doing it the right way with integrity, with honesty, with commitment, dedication, you're doing it the right way. You just keep going. You keep fighting through it. And it will, and being, you know, going on 64 years old now myself and having been a coach now for 42 years, you mentioned they come back to you. When those guys come back to you with their kids and they tell you how, man, I tell them Coach McKeefer stories all the time and how he got my life right and got me on the right path and got me doing this and doing the things I didn't want to do and gave so much structure, to my life and really made me the man that I am today was so, and you're going to go, wow, did I really do that? And they're telling their kids that, and or that phone call that I got. I mean,
awesome.
Those will come to you tenfold.
Absolutely.
Stay with it.
Absolutely.
Stay with it and, you know, be that person and persevere. Just keep persevering. It'll all come back to you tenfold, I promise you.
That's great. What about, I know you're not an app guy. But
oh man, I'm appless.
What about
I'm appless.
Give me a book. One book, Inside Strength and Conditioning.
I'll give you a few. You got time?
Oh, absolutely. And what? Give me one.
No, so listen, because I wrote them down because I want to make. I know you do this at the end of the each all your podcast. So obviously the Essentials book, Essentials,
yes.
Especially for the young men and women out there that will eventually be taken, whether it's NSCA or CSCC or whatever certification. You need to have that book. If for no other reason, most of your questions will be derived from that book,
great.
From that text. So get it, read it. A lot of great stuff, great information in there, obviously. Another one is called Essentials of Musculoskeletal Care.
Yep.
Maybe not so much high on the reading list for a lot of people, but by Letha Griffin. Great book. Just when you start running into some, you're going to have some brush fires along the way. And some time, especially in terms of rejuvenation and preparation, and also for recovery, it's a great book. Another one is Clinical Sports Medicine by a gentleman by the name of Pete Bruckner. Now, you can find all these on Amazon.
Yep.
So that one's Clinical Sports Medicine. Again, another kind of a, you might say, well, gee, isn't that more for physical therapists, maybe sports medicine people? Yeah, but I'm going to tell you what. It'll make reading this material and having an understanding of that will make you a better strength coach, no question. And it's not sets, reps, and that kind of stuff.
Right.
It hits on other issues. Now, here's as far as a structure and function, anatomy and physiology, and done in a boy just a very comprehensive yet easily understandable format. Anything in the series of Trail Guide to the Body by Andrew Beal. Trail Guide. Now Andrew has several texts out. I have most of his texts. He also has videos. And, yeah, good old-fashioned flashcards. You talk about, you know, taking the structure and function of the human anatomy, all the systems, really, all the systems, connective tissue, muscular system, neural system, and putting it in terms that, wow, I really got a grasp of this now. Once again, Trail Guide to the Body by Andrew Beal. That's B-I-E-L. Motor learning. And you know what an advocate I am of young people in this profession, learning more and getting more information and gathering more knowledge in the motor learning area. Anything by Richard McGill or Richard Schmidt. They have a couple. Each of them has a couple of texts out. But in this age of what we call sport or position specificity or training specificity, I think it's very, very important that if you're going to use those terms, that you have a background in knowing what exactly you're putting out there. So once again, Richard McGill, Richard Schmidt. Now, as far as psychology, motivation,
yep.
Stephen Pressfield wrote Gates of Fire, which is obviously the story of the 300 Spartans at Thermopylae. But which is a great book in itself in terms
right.
of and really anybody in the military, some are required. That's required reading for the military. But he has two books, and I've become kind of an email buddy with him. One's called Turning Pro, and the other one's called Do the Work. And it's just his perspectives on what you need to do to be successful in whatever your field of endeavor is. Once again, one's called Turning Pro, and the other one's called Do the Work.
What's the author's name again?
Stephen Pressfield, Pressfield. Again, nothing to do with training, just being successful and, once again, fighting through those adversities and that we talked about earlier. Two great books on fighting the good fight. John Brubaker, former coach and now a speaker, motivational speaker and entrepreneur. Does a lot of talks with business people. If you go to coachbrew.com, that's B-R-U, coachbrew.com, you'll get on his website. And I suggest that you all get his what do you call him, blog. He sends a blog out every so often. Great stuff, especially for the motivational aspects of things, and he's more geared. He takes being a coach. He takes coaching perspectives and concepts and applies them to business.
Yeah.
And, but you and I can get. I believe I've gotten a great stuff, a lot of great information from him, and he has two books. One's called The Coach Approach, and Seeds of Success. His name is John Brubaker, Brubaker.
Was he the one that was at the CSCCA last year? Was he at the
He was there last year.
Yeah, he did a great job.
Did a great job. Now, a gentleman is going to be there this year for as terms of sports psychology, Jack Singer.
Yep.
Singer. He's going to be speaking this year at the convention. And I've had several phone conversations. Boy, he is like, you talk about being on point with athletes and how they think and trying to relate to them, especially the ones that are like, wow. This guy, we're not on the same wavelength, and I'm not ever sure that there's a black hole there, man, that I'm not, the wormhole that I'm going to have to travel through to get to this guy. But anything by Jack Singer, he's got some books out, some videotapes, and you can find some of his stuff once again on Amazon. And then I'll give you anything by Wayne Westcott, who I think does a great job, great researcher. And my good friend, Matt Brisky, his Practical Approach book to strength training is still one of the staples. And I'll give you one more. It's one man's perspective. I understand that. The gentleman's name is Leonard Sachs, S-A-X. The book is called Boys Adrift. And it's a very compelling, insightful book. And again, it's one man's perspective on it, on the amotivational syndrome that so many young men are going through now, starting with, you know, when they're children and then coming up. And he touches the whole video game thing, some of the medications that are out there that maybe some kids, you know, should or should not be on, whatever. And also the educational system they're brought up through from kindergarten through elementary, middle school, and high school, and then beyond. I tell you what, you may not agree with everything he has to say, but there are some very, very poignant concepts he brings up on, and you go, wow, I know a kid like that.
Yeah.
Believe me, you'll say, gee, I know a kid that's exactly like that, and maybe these are some of the reasons why, and he came from that kind of background, and it's called Boys Adrift, but there's also some mention and some research on females in there too, although his main... His main thrust is with young boys and who become just unmotivated young men. So absolutely. I would suggest, you know, those are my, it's probably the longest list you ever got.
I love it.
I'll end with this. Your book. They got to go get your book.
Nah, okay?
How about that?
I appreciate that, Coach.
And I'm sure they all got it anyway, so I probably.
Well, Coach, I'm telling you, you know, like I said, and it's not just smoke, man. I hold you in the highest regard. And it's easy for everybody to see why. I mean, you're not just a great technician where you're rattling off, you know, 15 books that are textbooks that are improving you as a technician and specific in your trade. But you know, the obviously the amount of that you put into being a great manager and constantly searching for ways to improve your program and build on it and make your athletes better and all with the heart to for with the athlete in mind and building everything around the athlete in mind. It's easy way to see why you've had so much success and why you're not just a mentor to me but so many. So, Coach, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show.
Ron, I appreciate it. It's been an honor for me. And if any of your listeners want – I'm not a social media guy, so I don't have nothing. I have no social media, none. But I do have an email address. It's Manny, M-A-N-N-I-E, @ath.msu.edu. If anyone has any questions for me, would like any information from me, anything I can give you, I'm an open book. I don't have all the answers, but I will share with you what I know and what I have. And once again, Ron, thank you so much for having me on. Great honor for me.
Thanks,
Coach. God bless you, your family. I know you talked a lot about your family on your blog and also on the podcast. So that's number one. You know that as well as I do. So Family first, buddy. God bless you. Happy Easter, by the way. Easter's coming up.
Thanks so much. Okay.
Take care.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.